Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation Liz. For the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. Yeah. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Great to be with you today. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer, a producer, and I am an empty nester. Yeah.
Okay, Leanne. Welcome to a whole new world.
Woo! It's only getting better. All right. And our question of the day today, we all read about the emotional support alligator over the weekend, right? That was the story.
Yes.
Wally is his name?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story that swept the nation. So if you had an emotional support animal that was not a dog, what would it be? Julie, what do you think?
Okay, very easy. This is Julie Dolan in Dallas, Texas. Baby panda bear. Oh, come on. Come on. Just roly-poly. You could take it everywhere. Little bamboo. Oh, adorable. Yes.
Okay. Liz?
Okay, this is Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, and I think I have a spiritual connection with sea turtles, but they don't really travel well.
No.
So really, none of the sea creatures really travel that well. So I am going with llama, and I'm just wondering if there's any such thing as a mini llama.
I'm sure there's a pygmy llama. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Leanne, did you know there's a Central Oregon Llama Association that has a Facebook group and it has fairs and outings and things? So I'm going to be looking into the mini llama.
I mean, llama enthusiasts, Liz, they're all over the place. And you know what? They're good for hiking. Remember that?
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
We saw them in Patagonia. Mm-hmm. Leanne, how about you?
A bunny. Nice bunny. Yeah. I want a bunny and I can't get one because of the dog. So I just like a bunny. Like my own little bunny. All right. Today on the show, you can discuss amongst yourselves at home what your emotional support animals would be. Today on the show, Liz, you're coming up on a big birthday. You've got some mixed feelings. You wanted to discuss this. We did not force you to talk about your birthday.
No. I'm coming up on an MMB, Leanne, major milestone birthday. And yeah, I have issues. I'm just going to put out some questions to everyone and see what we're thinking about all this.
All right, Julie, you've got the story that just won't go away of the dancing prime minister.
Correct. The Finnish prime minister. Okay. I mean, it's out there. People keep talking about it. People keep posting pictures of people dancing, and we're going to discuss this.
All right. Also, we have some follow-up from last week's show. A lot of action on the Facebook page about things we talked about last week, including, of course, Magic Mike, the last movie our mom ever saw. So we're going to talk about that. And then people had great tips for packing for a long trip in a small bag. So we're going to talk about that today. But first, I just want to fill you in. The move, part two. I mentioned at the top of the show, officially an empty nester now, because my son Colin moved out last Thursday. So I previewed this on last week's show. I can tell you the move went fine. Okay. It took a lot of moving. He seemed to think it was going to happen organically without any organization. Oh, he's a novice. He's a novice mover, Liam. No doubt. I mean, I know. But when he finally cleared out of here at like 10 p.m. Thursday night, he left a load of laundry in the washer. So that's how I knew he'd be back. Yeah. You know, he's only moving a mile away, but he was ready to go. And we were ready for him to go, so much so that my husband took Friday off, which, as you know, is unheard of.
Not done.
Friday in August, who would take that off? My gosh. We just went out and bought all new furniture for his room. So when he came back Saturday to pick up a few things, he was stunned.
That's like a real mess.
The turnover, it happened so quickly.
We're gone and don't come back. Okay. Nice, Liam.
So thanks. Everyone sent a lot of good wishes, their own stories about their 20 somethings or college kids moving out. Thank you. We're very excited. I mean, it's just amazing how quiet the house is. Yesterday morning, it was so delightful. You know, my husband went to work. The dog was like already asleep at 9 a.m. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a lot of work done. And I did. I wrote for like 8 straight hours because it was so quiet. So I am looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
Okay, a whole new chapter for you, Lynn. I'm happy. But one of the other follow-ups from last week is I mentioned that I was trying to control my cholesterol and I was going to tweak my diet. And I can't say how grateful I am to the Satellite Sister Nation that on our Facebook page, we had actual medical experts providing actual medical advice, right?
Yes.
So thank you, Judith. Thank you, Michelle and Meg. Okay. And I am proud of the entire nation because I alone am not, apparently I'm not alone in being vigilant about my LDL score. Okay. Mm-hmm. And can I say to the half and half lobby out there, I'm thrilled because I have been given the green light, sisters, that a little dollop of half and half in my coffee a couple of times a week is not going to kill me. Okay. That's the official word. Okay.
Can I just say, Julie, though, I checked the stats. We have a lot of listeners in the dairy producing states. So I think.
Oh, you think it's skewed that way, Liz? Oh, no, Liz, don't burst my bubble.
No,
okay?
No.
I mean, medical advice, Liz. I got it. You're trying to sort of skew this. Let's not. Let's just stay on a high note that half and half. A couple of dollops is the way to go. Okay. Unfortunately, I bought this new Nespresso machine, but I'll figure out how to reintegrate half and half with my Nespresso. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's totally doable. Okay. So I have some Nespresso advice because I learned a hard Nespresso lesson this summer, Julie, just even a couple of weeks ago. So I have an espresso in the little bungalow in Bend. Uh-huh. So I don't have one home here in Santa Monica. I sort of think of it as my treat coffee when I'm on vacation. So it only exists in Bend. And in the summer, who knows what year it was then, but like I was in Bend the entire summer of 2020, first pandemic summer. I spent the whole summer in Bend, left and came home to Santa Monica in September. A couple of months later, I got a text from our sister Monica saying, your Nespresso maker was broken when I got here. I'll see what I can do to get it fixed. So I appreciated that. And there were, then there was some back and forth. She couldn't figure it out. She wasn't registered to her. She put it in a box and took it to Portland, Oregon, where she lives, thinking she'll find her nice neighborhood and espresso repair shop, which of course does not exist.
I was going to say, is that a thing?
I appreciated the effort, but I knew that was futile. Anyway, then over Christmas of that year, she brought it back to Bend, left it in a box and put it in the pantry and sent me a note like, no can do, I leave it to you. So every time I've been in Bend since, let's just say, January of 21, or whatever year that was, I've looked at this Nespresso maker in a box in the pantry and thought, I should really do something about that. And I have done nothing about it. I've just been staring at the broken Nespresso maker thinking, this is going to be super complicated. I'm going to have to like ship it to Switzerland. Who knows what's going to happen. We had a backup drip coffee maker, just went back to the drip, which is, it's fine. It's what I drink at home. So finally this summer, earlier this month, because I'd been there for a month this summer, I looked at that Nespresso maker in the closet and I was like, okay, time to address the Nespresso. I get it out. I turn it on. I see what she means. The little wheel doesn't turn when you put the pod in. It's just not, it's not working. So I go to Nespresso.com and I get on with, it says, if you have a problem, call us. I'm like, yeah. And they're going to tell me where to ship it in Switzerland or something. So I get on and oh my God, this was like the best customer experience I've ever had. I think so. So I get on. The woman is super nice, and she gets my serial number. And she said, "Well, you didn't quite finish registering it," and so I thought, now she's going to tell me she can't help me. She said, "So let's start by doing that." So we do that. Then she's like, "Okay, troubleshooting. Let's see what's going on." She had me explain what was wrong. And then she sent me a text, Julie, with a link in it. And she said, just open this link. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be the crazy complicated instructions. No, Julie, the link was a camera. So when I held it up to my Nespresso maker, she could see it. So
as
she was giving me instructions, I'm telling you, this was really the most fun I had all summer. And so then she's like, so tell me the last time you descaled it. And I was like,
okay, descaling, that is not in Liz Dolan's vocabulary.
What now?
Or she's wheelhouse.
Like, yeah. I was like, and I've had it since 2015. So anyway, so she said, okay, just stick your finger in there and the wheel isn't turning around. Just force the wheel to go around. So that's what I did. And she said, okay, now put in a pod. So that's what I did. And she said, now put some hot water in the tank, just water. You know, you don't even take the pot out. You don't need to make any coffee. Just run some hot water through it and let's see how that does. And I'll be damned if the super complicated solution to fixing my Nespresso wasn't running some hot water through it.
I'm taking notes. I'm writing this down.
Here's what I'll give you for Christmas. She talked me into buying the actual descaling solution, which exists.
Okay.
She's like, you know, if you don't want to do that, just run some hot water through it once a month. Anyway, it was like, I was so giddy from this customer service experience. I almost didn't want to let her off the line. I'm like, you can have your bosses call me, whatever. I'm just very happy with the results of this phone call. She had no idea that I'd been staring at it in the box for a year and a half. Anyway, that's my tip to you, Julie Dolan. De-scaling.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know we were going to spend that much time on that. Okay.
Think of all the coffee I could have been drinking for a year and a half. Fine Nespresso brew, but whatever. It's fine.
Well,
it's
I think you're changing people's lives out there, Liz. So
I think everyone's just going to call the Nespresso helpline right now. Yeah. No matter, even if they don't have a machine.
Yeah.
Right. It just sounds so good.
Did you take a look at my dishwasher with that camera?
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, Leanne, why doesn't your dishwasher have a tech support person that can send you the link and you hold up the camera and they look at what's wrong with your dishwasher?
Yeah.
Why should you be trying to figure out what's wrong with your dishwasher, right?
Make a good point, Liz. Make a good point.
Or buy an Nespresso dishwasher if they ever offer them.
Okay.
Okay. Whew, Liz. All right. Speaking of retailers, last week, I confessed that I had no idea that Eileen Fisher was a real person. And so breaking news for me was not only was she retiring from her company, she actually existed. And so then we joked about like is Jay Jill? That's certainly not a real person, right? Nope. According to Leslie, satellite sister Leslie, who lives in Oregon, she works at J. Jill. So Leslie, thank you. I'm glad we have people on the ground to inform us of this. J. Jill was a person, actually two people. The founder had two daughters, Jennifer and Jill. Why uh-huh. Jennifer got the short end of the logo, no one knows. So that's a good.
It could have been wow. J. Jen rather than J. Jill, right?
It could have been. Yeah. It could have been Jilly Jen, Jenny Jill.
Okay. Well, Leanne, I was so struck by our conversation that I did a deep dive, did some further research.
Oh, good.
On Jill. Both retail names, real or fake. So here's a list. J. Crew. Fake. Okay. That's not a real name. It's mm-hmm. We're trying to compete with Ralph Lauren. They came up with the name Crew and then they stuck a J in front of it because they thought it sounded cooler. Mm-hmm. Tory Burch. That's a real person. Okay. Zara. Okay. Fake name. But here's the thing. The owner really wanted to name the retail store Zorba after Zorba the Greek. But unfortunately, his first store happened to be on the same block as a bar that was Zorba. So he had already bought the letters for Zorba, and I guess he got an extra A, and he just switched them around and got Zara. How about that?
Seriously?
This is a true, it's as true as your Nespresso story, Liz. Yes, it is. Okay. Jay McLaughlin, real person. Ted Baker, made up name. Okay, there you have it.
Oh, okay. Well, just another one. Leslie Apadu worked at Tommy Bahama. Not a real guy. Okay. She said, even though there were, she used a word, but I won't use. I'll just call them Bahama Bros who came in and said, oh, yeah, I know Tommy Bahama.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. That is some good detail. All right. Also, thank you so much to everyone who shared their own Magic Mike story. That would be taking someone to an age inappropriate movie. A lot of you were taken to movies as children you shouldn't have seen. I'm sorry about that. But some of you took your parents to completely inappropriate movies. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you. We love it.
I got a text from my college roommate who said, oh my God, listening to the podcast about Magic Mike, I kind of wish I'd taken my mom to that movie in her last days. So
I think that was the point. All right, stay with us. We're the Satellite Sisters.
Liz, you know, I am now just a devotee to my prose regimen, right? My hair care regimen.
I know that, Leanne, I'm looking at your hair right now on Zoom. Even on Zoom, your hair looks fantastic.
I'm in training for this book tour, Liz.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be, you know, seeing people and photos will be taken. And I want to look great. At least have my hair look great. And I feel like with prose, I am well on my way. And it's because it's personalized for me, Liz. Yes. Okay. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. So you take the in-depth consultation, you get the made-to-order stuff, and then you follow, you know, the instructions, Liz, and things get better. I take my vitamins. They're for me. They say Leon on it. I do, you know, the shampoo. I do the conditioner. I do the leave-in conditioner. Sometimes I do the pre-shampoo scalp treatment. That all the time, but that is it's in my toolbox, my prose toolbox.
Whatever it is, it's all paying off for you, Leanne. You've just got a good hair game. Thanks to
Thank you. Of the millions and millions of possible formulas, Liz, only one is uniquely mine. And that is why I love my prose. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/sisters. And prose is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Prose.com/sisters. Thanks, pros, for great hair. Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there?
A lot of things going my way, Leon, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy. Yeah. They want you to have
peace. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. Free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right, we're going to talk about dancing. We're going to talk about birthdays. I think we're starting with dancing. Go for it, Jewel.
Yes. Well, this was a story that happened a couple of weeks ago, but it's a story that has legs, sisters. Okay.
Oh.
I'm talking about the Finnish Prime Minister, Sanna Marin. A couple of weeks ago, she faced a lot of backlash after being seen partying and dancing in a leaked video. Okay. And it was pretty extreme. And people, some of the Finns were mad about it. They felt like, you know, she should take a drug test. But she was very adamant. She said she didn't, you know, she did take a drug test. It came back negative. She said she just drank alcohol. She didn't have any official duties over the weekend. And she just wanted to be a little boisterous. Okay. Now, here's the other thing, sisters. When she was elected, she was only 34 years old. So she's a 36-year-old prime minister, okay? But this isn't her first, run-in with some bad press over her social life, because during COVID, she was out clubbing, and she came in close contact with a COVID case. And she has been seen in other venues sort of dancing and partying. But you know what? It's perfectly legal to dance and party. And you know that? Okay.
Yes.
So that's her position. And I mean, far be it from us, because we're not Finnish. The Finns elected her. They knew she was young, and she was doing pretty much what 36-year-olds do when they have a free weekend, right?
Yeah.
Okay, she had a free weekend. So it's sort of a generational thing. But women all over the world have been posting videos of themselves dancing and partying in support, which I thought is pretty cool. Even Hillary Clinton posted a video this week of her, and she's like napkin waving in Cartagena.
When that happened. Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's really the Finns' fault. Like, if you elect a 34-year-old or a 36-year-old, you're going to have to expect a little partying. Now, I also, on the other hand, I mean, Finland's neighbor is Russia. So one major problem they have right now is Putin. They're in the process of getting into NATO, which again is seen as a very provocative move by Putin. So, you know, there may be a tone issue there that she wants to address. You know, it seems like
you always got to be a downer, don't you, Jewel?
I do, Leon, because of Russia, Leon, and because of Putin. Okay. Hey, that border is really, really close, you know, and he's already said, you know, he's already made provocative statements about that. So I don't know what you think. I mean, other than that, I mean, it's up to the Finns. If this is they want a dancing prime minister, you know, let them have a dancing prime minister.
Well,
Well, I'm always going to be pro dancing. You know that.
Okay.
There's never going to be a part of my life where I think we should all dance less. We should all dance more is my official stance on this.
I would say this, Julie, she's prime minister. I assume she has people in charge of actually watching the border. So I'm assuming that's covered. And I don't need her to be the one watching the border because there are probably people that are more qualified.
What, Liz? Wait a minute, Liz. Okay, she's head of the country. What if something's happening at the border?
Then they call
her. She's there.
Then oh,
but she's in the middle
floor.
Of a park.
Julie, Finland practically invented the cell phone. That's one thing they know how to do is call people in Finland. They've got great phones. They call people all the time.
I understand that. But if it's 4 a.m. and you've been drinking all night, are you, in a position to make the best decision about Putin's invasion?
Answer to that is no. You're probably not in the best position. Okay. But I do understand why leaders of countries do need to find ways to blow off a little steam.
Yeah.
And that if you're in your 30s, you're going to blow off steam differently.
Exactly. And I agree with that. Yes, I agree with that. I mean, so there you have it.
Because you think Putin is having her trailed and the moment she gets drunk enough, he's going to invade?
Liz.
Moving on.
Possible.
Speaking of age appropriate, this is my big issue. Now, I've told you guys, you guys know already.
Because we're related to you.
You're related to me. So
for a long time, we've been related to you. Yeah.
Yes. So next month in September, I have an MMB, a major milestone birthday. And I've never dreaded one or had mixed feelings about one before. But next month is when I turn 65. And for some reason, this is really getting to me. Like, I've really given it so much more thought than I've ever given any birthday. And I may have finally reached the point where, like, I'm just reluctant to say the number out loud. So, and I think I've been thinking a lot about why this is. Part of it is the last couple of years during pandemic, we've all gone through a rough time. And year one of the pandemic was bad enough, but year two, when I fell and crushed my leg, I just had a year that involved a lot of, loneliness and fear and weakness. And maybe I just feel like that was the glimpse of the old age that I feared, just to be perfectly serious about it. Like, there I was laying in my bed or in my wheelchair, and it was just rough to be trapped alone at home and not be able to get out and about. Now, I am much better now. And so the worst of that has passed for sure. But I think it was just the glimpse into my worst fear about being old. So you think that's probably part of it, right?
Yeah, for sure, Liz. Yeah. I mean, I know you've always talked about being old quite a bit. Like, that is your worst fear for a long time, is that you're just gonna. So that's why you're always cooking up scenarios like living with all your best friends or renting houses near people. Like, that's been an issue, and then you actually live through it.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I also think you think of yourself as being very young and with it too. And now this is some like reality check that you don't want. And here's the thing, Liz, you're old enough that you can lie about your age if that's what you want to do. Okay.
That I cannot do that.
You don't want to do that. No,
that
it won't work.
Against my principles.
Okay.
But I think you touch on something that is the other part of it. Besides the fear of aging, there's the fear of telling younger people that you're 65, everywhere other than working with you guys, where we're all close enough in age so we don't have to stress it. Like, the other half of my life working in the sports world, everyone I work with is like half my age. Or sometimes I hear them referring to like, oh, it's my mom's 50th birthday coming up. And I'm like, in fact, not too long ago, someone was mocking my email address. And I'm like, come on, it's not like I have a Hotmail address or anything. It's not, I'm not at AOL.com. They're like, yeah, whatever. Just sort of an uncool email address.
Wow. So,
that's you harsh. That's harsh.
It's just, it's the thing out there. And you guys have kids and they already know how old you are. So that's different. I'm dealing with kids, your kids' age, but they don't know how old I am. And maybe I would just rather not tell them. So, but then I just, you know what I hate, really hate is the word senior. I feel like,
okay.
Like maybe it's just a marketing thing. I know senior or all the silver sneaker, or I know it's supposed to seem less bad than like elderly, but every time I hear people say things like, well, seniors can't really adopt a new technology, I think, who are you talking about?
Because certainly not Liz Dolan. Right.
That is not Liz Dolan. But at the same point, I will occasionally say to both of you guys, I wish I had kids who could teach me how to do some of this stuff on my computer. So I know that it's not consistent. Like Sunday night, I was watching the VMAs on MTV. Like, do seniors do that? No. Seniors do not watch the Video Music Awards. Then last night I was at Water Aerobics singing along to Super Freak. So I guess that really does age me a little bit, right?
Right, right. You know? Catchy. It's a catchy song though. Everybody loves Super Freak, Liz. Don't worry about it.
I bet it'd be really good in the pool too. Yes. Yeah.
So good. Super freaky. And everyone in the class is in my age group and we're all getting super freaky and that's fun. So
do you think you would like it better if there was another name for it, Liz? Like, is it just a branding issue for you? I mean, maybe. Because I think there are many seniors that would turn in that term for if you could cook up
a
better one.
We can work on that.
Okay.
Like on the one hand, Julie, and we don't need to get into the whole medical discussion, but you know, your insurance changes when you turn 65. So I can't believe that I qualify for something called silver sneakers.
Right? You know, I kind of like the silver term. I've seen that. There are lots of Instagrams like Silver Sisters. And yeah, I like it. I think silver is better than seniors. So I think if you should reframe silver, you know. Mm-hmm. Reframe silver and you know, silver sneakers. That's fun. Come on.
Okay. Maybe I could go with silver. Yeah. So anyway, so here's the good news is that, I'm having a girls' weekend on Cape Cod the weekend after my birthday with a bunch of my college friends. And because we were all in the same class, we all turned 65 this year. So half of them have already turned 65 and the other half of us are to come. So we are going to discuss, we're going to work on a few of these issues. I hadn't really thought about it as a branding exercise, but I think you're right. And, you know, I keep hearing these suggestions about what you should do with these major tuning points in your life. Like,
and how do you feel about that, Liz?
Sounds rejecting some of these suggestions, Liz, before you even say them.
Well, you know, I'm just not a list person. Everyone tells you, like, write a list of the goals, or write a list of your values, or write a list, write a life plan. I'm just not going to do that.
That's okay. I respect that. I think people write lists instead of doing things sometimes. And there's nothing I hate more than that term bucket list. I just don't like it.
That's
a super negative term. Silver list. How about your silver wishes? Silver dreams.
Oh, yeah. I read one book, Leanne, where they suggest that you create a reverse bucket list, that the concept of bucket list is wrong because you're just adding more complication to your life, that you should write a list of things you want to get rid of.
Like, there you go.
I could do that.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to write a list. No, I attempted to write a list. And the only thing I put on my list, and maybe I should just stick with this as my silver theme, was just learn new things.
Yeah, right? Good. Okay. I like it.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's how I'm going
to suit you. Yeah.
Anyway, so you guys have had major milestone lately that you've dealt with. How'd it go? Like, any insights?
Well, I would say this is Leanne. And I think a lot about that phrase, aging is a privilege, right? Because some people don't get there. And I've really turned around for me when I was diagnosed with cancer. I was 55. I had colon cancer, people are new, 3 years ago. It's just actually
3 years ago this week, I was diagnosed. And I remember the first time I went into the gastroenterologist afterwards to sort of get the results in person. I already knew that I had cancer. And he said, listen, this is, you know, it's an early detection. You're young. You know, he said, you have a 90% chance of living 5 years. And that, I was like, what? Because like when I walked into the room, I pretty much thought I had 100% chance of living to the age of 60, you know, so he may think that's a really great number. But I was like, wait, I have a 10% chance of not living to the age of 60. And that just kind of turned it around for me. Like, I feel I am excited to get to 60 because it will mean a lot of things. And then every year after that, I don't know, it's going to be silver, Liz. Like, it's just going to be a bonus. So I do think age is a number, and but I'd like to get to 60. That's a number I'd like to get to. So I don't fear it. I don't fear it at all. But that's because I had that weird, I don't want to say life or death experience, but sort of life or death experience. Like, wow.
Well, once, it definitely provided you a new perspective.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I have lost friends. We've lost some of our cousins. I mean, I think you think about that. But for me, getting older is really a celebration because let's just face it. Getting old is not for the young and inexperienced. Okay. It's not. Okay.
I think that's what mom always said. Aging is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. It's you. I mean, you can feel proud another trip around the sun. I feel proud about it. I am proud to be standing tall, you know, and still active and doing a lot of things. And I don't take it for granted. I think you know, everybody has to decide how they want to embrace it and how they're going to navigate it. But it is a time of great, you know, it is also a time of great power because of experience. I mean, and that is something that you don't have when you're in your 20 and 30, or if you're a
agree with that.
36-year-old prime minister dancing. Okay. You don't have the experience. You may not have had the experience of failure or of loss or, you know, you name it. And that makes you a stronger, more powerful person. And, you know, this is a time where, you know, things that you care, we've talked about it, things that you care so much about, external things in the 30s and 40s, they don't matter, okay? They don't. You know, you have your core beliefs, your core values, you make really good decisions about who you want to spend time with. And I think that's a good part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you're right about that, that there's something about the perspective you gain that I just think, especially when I think of it professionally, personally, it's all fine. It's just like professionally, now I just think of myself as the wily veteran. I don't have to work as hard as you because I've been there and already learned.
Yes.
And already learned what you're doing.
Ooh, right, the now. Wily veteran. Did you hear that, Liam? That should be on a t-shirt or something, Liz. Come on.
I just feel like saying to these kids, what you're doing right now isn't going to matter at all. But okay, go ahead, knock yourself out. Because the wily veteran knows that that's going to make no difference at all in the end. So, I mean, that's why I love doing this show with you guys. We're always learning new things. I love the other part of my professional life, always learning new things. So, okay. All right. Good talk.
Liz, it's going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's an opportunity to sort of think less about how you define yourself in terms of work and more as how you define yourself in terms of the rest of your life. I mean, I know you've tried to do that, but you've just gone through a big work project, you know, you're thinking a lot about work, but maybe this is why people have retired at 65.
Yeah.
I guess I did. But,
no. And I just love it, Liz, that for your celebration, where most people are drinking and having cake, you and your friends have planned a summit, which is just so Liz Dolan. So I hope the Silver Summit.
Okay, I'm going to tell them about this. That's what we're calling it now. I might have to make t-shirts now.
Okay.
Right. So I am very interested in hearing people's insights on this, which is, by the way, insights, not the same as advice. Okay.
So if you know listeners, if you know anything about Liz, do not.
But if you
like,
if you've, if you have thoughts about this, or you know, what has helped you make transitions from one stage in life to another without freaking out too much, you can put it in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. I'll start a discussion about this. And then, or you can just email us. If you're not on Facebook, our email is hello@satellitesisters.com. I think this is a really interesting topic to think about, not just because it's me, but because I know from the stats, everyone who's listening to the sound of our voices is also, you know, in the, let's just call it in the second half of life. So we're going to do that.
All right. You should absolutely make those t-shirts.
Silver Summit.
Yeah.
Silver Summit. Yeah.
Okay. One last note on aging with it. Thought I would just pass along. I don't know if you guys saw it. So our sister Sheila, who many of you know, she posted on social media the other day. Sheila is becoming a grandmother in October.
Yay!
She
is
super excited, super duper excited about it. It's been a long time coming. And so on social media the other day, she posted, "I am going to be a grandmother. Let the Nana nickname games begin." So she asked her friends to, like, what should she be called as a grandmother? So I thought that was very cute that, again, thinking about the branding of her grandmotherhood. And one of her friends made a suggestion that I am totally for. I voted for. One friend said she should be Lala, as in Sheila.
I like Lala. That's
well,
cute.
Her nickname growing up was Lily.
Lily.
So yeah, obviously, it should be Lily. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I was thinking. Yeah.
Julie, you can post that. You know, okay. I think everybody, she actually did ask people to weigh in on this. So I just thought, anyway, congratulations to Sheila. This is a major milestone in her life. And she's so excited about it. And we're super excited for her daughter, Ruthie, and her husband, Jeremy.
Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season, and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky and it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know? Glowing.
I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box. Liz, get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com, and Osea is Osea. OseaMalibu.com, and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Okay, we are back. And before we get to entertaining sisters, I did want to remind people that we do have an entertainment channel. In case you want all your content to be Satellite Sisters content, that's fine with us. Satellite Sisters has a YouTube channel. So just go to YouTube and search on Satellite Sisters channel. And what will come up is a Satellite Sisters channel that includes all of our podcasts from this year. Every podcast now gets posted on YouTube. It's the audio file, but, you know, it's a nice, easy way to listen to it. All of my, talk about learning new things. All of my former Cooking with Liz videos are there. And then we have a bunch of other videos, just Satellite Sisters videos that we've done over the years. So we would love if you subscribed to the Satellite Sisters YouTube channel, and you never know what's going to come up there next. If it is going to be a source of entertainment, I promise you that.
Okay, Liz. All right. I can't wait. I can't know. Wait to hear what you're
Does
doing.
It sound like I think there's going to be plan? Some silver things going on over there.
Maybe we do the summit live on the Satellite Sisters YouTube channel.
Now that's some big Liz Dolan thinking there. Yes.
All right. I want to remind people too that we have two other sources of information for you if you are looking for show notes or things we talk about on the show. First, we have a newsletter called Pep Talk, and I'm pretty good about sending out a pep talk every week that the show is in production. So to sign up for Pep Talk, go to satellitesisters.com and a sign up sheet will pop up there. It goes out Friday morning, and I include most of the show notes for real, and then a link to the full show notes and lots of other things, including an essay and recommendations, upcoming events. I do have a bunch of book events happening in the fall in various places. So, and if my other sisters are doing anything, they can let me know what I would put it in Pep Talk. Okay. It's not all just about me, but become a Pep Talk subscriber. Also, we have started posting the show notes on the Satellite Sisters website, just as its own blog post, because we had people, a lot of people contacting us, couldn't quite figure out the click on the three dots or look at the phone you're listening to the show on. That's okay. There's no judgment. But if you go over to the Satellite Sisters blog, every week we'll just post the show with the show notes. There's nothing more than that. It's a very simple blog post, but it will have all the links. It has the sponsor links there, which is really important. So if you missed a sponsor link, you can go there. It will have everything we need, how to get in touch with us. Go to satellitesisters.com and click on blog. That's how blog. You do it.
That's okay. A good one.
Yes.
That's a good
Remember
one.
I think
that's
blogging?
A silver situation. It's a silver situation.
Exactly. Okay. Oh, speaking of that, Liz, speaking of silver, see, we have a whole new thing now. It's happening. Silver is happening like 5 minutes later. So, all right. You know, our Facebook page, there's so much good information over there. And then there's just a couple of wild ideas, but you know, we don't endorse
dialogue.
We don't endorse all the medical things, but that's okay. Pick and choose what you want over there. But people are traveling. Our people travel. They go places. There's so many good travel posts over at the Facebook group. Just join us on Facebook. You do have to answer the membership questions. But here's Lori's post, and I appreciated the responses. Okay, Lori, she is going to a 3-week vacation in Sicily, and Whoa. Her goal is one carry-on bag and a backpack.
Whoa.
And this is what she wrote. I am telling you all of this to hold myself accountable towards this goal. Okay. I love that. She's got a great carry-on, packing cubes to help me roll and compress.
Okay.
And dare I say this, looking for a good fanny pack. Lori,
okay.
Don't
I know.
Be ashamed.
Leanne, you have don't planted that seed in there. Yeah.
Don't be ashamed. So she wants to know if anyone had any packing tips. She's just posting it really. Actually, she didn't ask for packing tips, but people gave them to her. And she said, this is the first time in my life, and I'm 63, that I've taken a 3-week vacation from work. All right. So
well, first of all, congratulations. That's
good
great.
For her. Yes.
Yeah. The best part of the whole post list was that everyone just posted congratulations. Keep us posted. Please, please post photos. We want to know your tips, how you did it. So Lori, we're with you on this journey. All right. Katie posted this incredible tip. She said she just traveled for 4 weeks with packing cubes in a carry-on. So that can be done. Her one suggestion, laundry soap sheets and a gallon Ziploc bag. You can put a small square of soap into the Ziploc and quickly do a load of laundry. Enjoy your
Whoa.
Trip.
Oh,
right.
That's mind blowing. That's yes. mind blowing.
All right.
I would wear like 4 layers on the plane. I think that's it. Okay. It's always cold on those planes. So just bulk up on your way over. Yeah.
Okay. Julie, I was just about to read Sunny's suggestion because she has also traveled a lot internationally. And she said they have serious weight maximums. So this is what Sunny said. Wear your heaviest clothes and shoes. Wear a coat with large pockets for phone, wallet, iPad. I mean, that just made me laugh. Those won't get weighed. Also, folding umbrella will not count towards your weight limit. Mm-hmm. So Sunny, that's good tips. All right. That makes me laugh. Jenny. Thank you, Jenny. Fanny packs are cool again. They've actually been rebranded as belt bags. Yes, Jenny. Thank you. Lots of similar ones now. All the girls wear them like a crossbody bag. Yes, I was at a music festival this weekend. I had mine on around my fanny because, you know, Gen X, but all the young kids had them over their shoulders like a crossbody bag. Very cute. And then Julie said this, and I feel like we can discuss. Enjoy. If you pack a few expendable items, you can just discard them during your last week and make room for purchases.
I think that's an interesting idea. When I travel with my friend Susie, that's what she does. She brings clothes and then she donates them to make more room in her suitcase. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I was expendables. I was like, what would you pack that you would actually want to wear that's expendable? But I can see a donation. All right. That's
right.
Fine.
Well,
I got it.
So wear some of your, you know, clothes. Well, you know, slightly worn clothes, and then you leave those and you have more room. Yeah.
That coat with the giant pockets.
I think a giant poncho, Leon, could hide several layers of clothing.
Several fanny packs. I could just strap a lot of fanny packs to my body.
I do always love when you see the people on the planes wearing multiple hats. You know, that's the oldest trick in the book. Makes me laugh every time.
All right, Lori, post photos. Good luck. We want to know about the trip. We want to know about the packing.
I've always wanted to go to Sicily.
Yeah, that me looks, too.
Looks it's so an beautiful.
It's an amazing place, and they have all these beautiful Greek ruins there. Yeah, it's going to be a good trip. Yes. Well, maybe she would like to take the book that I am going to recommend as part of Entertaining Sisters. I read, and I'm recommending Capote's Women, a true story of love, betrayal, and a swan song for an era. And this is a nonfiction book written by Lawrence Lehmer. And it is the story of some high society women in the 50s and 60s who were befriended and then later betrayed by Truman Capote. So Capote called these women swans, and they were the women that were on the best dress list. They were always the highest societies, like Babe Paley, Gloria Guinness, Lee Radziwill, CeCe Guest, Pamela Harriman. And you get this, and there's profiles of each of these women and how Truman Capote sort of ingratiated himself with these women, mainly with the women, less so with the husbands. And he was, you know, staying at their country estates in Long Island. Freeloading in Palm Beach or at their chalet in Switzerland. But you also get this like picture of this type of woman during the 50s and 60s that were, you know, where they were very extremely ambitious, but they're really their options as they saw it was to marry well. So they all like tried to marry like the richest person they could. And if that didn't work out, then they divorced him and had an affair. So they all had like multiple marriages, multiple affairs in this sort of effort to like be the richest, most famous, best dressed women. And it's sort of fascinating to read about this. And then it's this tragic story, how these women who had, you know, in many cases, very unhappy lives and, you know, unsuccessful marriages, and that they would, you know, tell Truman Capote about, you know, their life secrets. He then used that against them in a magazine article he wrote that was fiction, but it was very thinly veiled fiction. Mm. And so some of these women never spoke to him again after this Esquire magazine article came out. So it's a fascinating look at a group of women, like one Pamela Harriman. I mean, she was married to Churchill's son. And she was living with Winston Churchill. Her husband was off at the war. And then she starts an affair with Averell Harriman. So she's in Winston Churchill's house and she's having this affair. You don't get that. Or how about Lee Radziwill? Did you know that she dated Aristotle Onassis first?
Yes.
And really? I didn't know that.
And in fact, she invited Jackie onto Aristotle Onassis's yacht to console her after Jack Kennedy was assassinated. And as soon as she walked on the yacht, Jackie Kennedy, he dumped Lee Radziwill. Than that,
ouch. I mean, sisters, so, it's crazy. It's a crazy.
So it is. So it was. It's a fascinating book. I'd recommend it. It's called Capote's Women by Lawrence Lehmer. But it also then, as I finished the book, it led me to listen to Meghan Markle has a new podcast out because everybody has podcasts called Archetypes. And here's what I'd say about it. And I know, Liz, you listened to it as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredibly polished. I mean, her voice sounds very, you know, I mean, she is an actress. So she has a beautiful sounding voice as she's talking. And she does appear to be almost reading a script. But again, she's an actress. So possibly, you know, it seems like a very produced podcast, unlike some of the raw quality you get here at Satellite Sisters. I don't think there's any chance that people think we're reading what we're saying here. No. So I think some might find it interesting.
Yes.
You know, that's all I can say. In the first one, she interviews Serena Williams, they are friends of some sort. And so that's what I'm going to say about this. But in some ways, Meghan Markle kind of reminded me of the women that were portrayed in this Truman Capote book, you know, like this ambition that leads you to make certain choices about your life and your marriages and your looks and what you're doing. So,
yeah, interesting. I mean, yeah. Her ambition was first, though, to be a totally independent woman, which she was for many, many years. So I guess it's a little different. But yeah, I enjoyed the part where she's talking to Serena.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously friends. Mm-hmm. It is a little more relaxed. And to me, Serena Williams is just a fascinating person. Mm-hmm. And obviously so timely. There she was last night at the US Open. It's her last stand. So I enjoyed it. But as far as the scripting and everything goes, Lee, and you will laugh at the end. There are like 8,000 producers on this show. The credits are extremely lengthy. We do not have that on Satellite Sisters. It made me laugh.
Okay. All right. I'll put that on my list. Yeah. It's a lot to listen to out there, but that book sounds good, Julie. I'd be interested in that.
It's a very fascinating look. Yes.
Mm. Okay.
All right. I have a TV suggestion. Speaking of Lee Radziwill and Jackie O, this is the new show, Bad Sisters, on Apple TV Plus. Have either of you guys started watching this yet?
No. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I've watched like 3 episodes. It's terrific.
It's a dark thriller comedy.
Okay.
About sisters.
Okay.
Filmed in Ireland.
Oh, right? Good. So okay. That's a plus.
They are the Garvey sisters, and there's a bad brother-in-law situation they have here. And so it's how did the sisters, I mean, I'm only 2 episodes in, but the sisters are trying to deal with a bad brother-in-law. It's written, executive produced, and starring Sharon Horgan as one of the sisters, who I totally love. She did that great show, Catastrophe, this unbelievably profane, hilarious show about marriage and kids and all of that. So she's great. But also in this, one of the actresses who's one of the sisters is Eve Hewson, who is Bono's daughter. So
yeah, she's good.
She's really good. She is a key player in this story. And then there's a whole murder mystery situation here. And so there are insurance investigators involved. And one of the insurance investigators is the actor Daryl McCormick. And he's the actor, the Irish actor, who was so great in that movie I loved, Good Luck to You, Leo Grand. And so he's in this. Very good. Anyway, it's Apple TV Plus. I totally recommend it. I'll put a link in the show notes. I don't know how many episodes there are. Do you know, Leon? I don't think it's super long. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Bad Sisters. How can you resist a show called Bad Sisters?
Okay, it's on my list. Yeah. What I like, Liz, about the show is that the brother-in-law situation is a very unexpected portrait. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a very good job at that, you know, at making him unlikable, but in an interesting way. So that's what I would say.
That's a nice comment.
There are a lot of ways you could go with the Irish brother-in-law, and they didn't go that way at all. So I think it's very good. I'm enjoying it. Okay, just a reminder to people, Julie, I know it's new to you, but last year I put out my first witchy book list for the spooky season. You know how
I have no memory of this whatsoever, but I'm just going to attribute it to COVID. Okay.
I like Halloween. I like the fall. I like witches. Yes. I like books about witches. I dress up as a witch on Halloween. There are a lot of books out there about witches and spooky witch-related things. And this is the time of year that all the publishers bring them out. So I have been hard at work this summer reading a lot of witchy books, and I'll be putting that together. And so we have next week off because it's Labor Day, but that following week, it's September, that book list will drop. We'll talk about a few on the show, but a lot of some romance witchy books, some funny witchy books. So one really
never have a romance with a witch, but carry on. Like, okay.
Well, you don't know what you're missing. I mean, it's magic, Jill. It's magic. It's what I know for my reading. Magic. But I did put together a book list last year. So Liz has kindly put a link to that book list in the show notes. So if you can't wait to get started on your witchy reading, lots of good books from last year's list, and there'll be more this year.
Yeah.
So that's exciting news.
If like Julie, you forgot there was even a witchy list last year, no problem. Boom. There it is in the show notes, which as Liam explained, will now be posted everywhere on the internet.
Yes.
Perfect.
All right. Now it's time to thank our extensive staff that helps us produce Satellite Sisters. We'd like to thank Sergio Enriquez. Thank you, Sergio. Thank you for being our engineer and our editor and holding it all together for us and recording the show. We appreciate that, Sergio. And then our exhaustive list ends with Emily Loudermilk, who does our graphic design. Thank you, Emily. She always puts together really fun graphics for every show. It's a simple process for her. She listens to the show and creates the graphics. It's a miracle every week when she does it, and it makes us laugh. Thank you, Emily. If you want to see more of Emily's work, please subscribe to Pep Talk or follow us on Instagram at Sat Sisters. Oh, you know, I wanted to mention something. We were talking about the travel thing. Remember when people traveled and we had that hashtag at Sat Sisters Travel?
Oh, yeah.
And that was really fun to follow along on. And so if you're traveling and Lori, you know, you're going to Sicily, but we know, according to our Facebook page, everybody is going everywhere all the time. So if you post on Instagram, use that hashtag, Sat Sisters Travel. We'd like to see where you're going and what you're up to.
Yeah, good idea, Liam.
Yeah, it just all came back to me today, Julie, when I was doing the extensive show notes. So when I was, quote, producing the show. All right. So that exists too, that Sat Sisters Travel hashtag. All right. Our to-do list for the week. Well, we are expecting a giant heat wave in Los Angeles landing tomorrow. Temperatures well north of 100 degrees. So my entire to-do list is just stay cool. It is going to be a hot week. And of course, coinciding nicely with the week that we're not allowed to water our yards anymore because of the pipe repair. So pretty much everything in my garden will die. Oh, so that's okay. I'm going to stay cool. And it's important. We should save our water out here. It's just bad timing. I'm staying cool. Julie, how about you?
Well, I'm excited because I got it. All the neighbors got a notice that someone in our neighborhood lost a bracelet while she was out jogging. So now I have like a whole new purpose when I walk the dog. I am looking for this bracelet. I want to be the hero. I want to find it. And it will give me something to do while Oliver is sniffing some bush, the same bush that he's in.
Oh, isn't that good? Keep us posted. Hashtag Sat Sisters Bracelet. Okay, Liz.
Well, you know, again, back to the topic of aging. I would like to announce that I have a historic physical therapy appointment on Friday of this week. And it's historic because it is the first one that will actually be paid for by Medicare.
Oh, okay, Liz.
So I am going from physical therapy that was costing me $92 a session to physical therapy that will be costing me $0 a session. So I guess there's some good parts to this whole aging thing. Anyway, I'll let you know how it goes.
All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Hey, sisters, have a great week.
You too, Liam.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.